This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
We welcome all of our internet listeners, and we would ask that our cell phones be turned off or put on vibrate. And I would ask the secretary now to call the roll.
Senate, I'll try. Senators Bolin.
Here.
Curd. Russell. Solano.
Here.
Frerichs. Stalzer.
Here.
Otten.
Here.
There is a quorum.
All right, let's go on 2 minutes. Has everybody read them? Do I have a... Senator Solano has moved for approval. Senator Bolin has seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Minutes have been approved. So, we have some pages. Would you step up and tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe one of your dreams or aspirations?
Hi, I'm Grace Bakken from Ipswich, and after high school, I will be attending the University of Nebraska-Lincoln for accounting.
And if you do have any handouts, if you give them to the page, and if you'll give it to us from behind us, be appreciated. And for everybody to sign in, it is required by the Secretary of State, and then all questions will be addressed through the chair itself. And with that, we'll start off with SB 14 to revise certain references to Special Highway Fund in provisions regarding to motor vehicle license fees distribution. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name's Bill Nevin. I'm appearing on behalf of the Department of Transportation this morning in support of Senate Bill 14. This bill is truly a cleanup bill, intended to bring up to date certain outdated code references. Prior to 1997, SDCL Section 3211-3 prescribed the percentage of motor vehicle license fees collected by a county that was to be placed in the Special Highway Fund. During the 1977 session, the motor vehicle licensing statutes were completely revised. As part of that revision, Section 31-11-3 was repealed, and SDCL 3211-4.1 was enacted to provide for the distribution of those motor vehicle license fees, including the percentage to be placed in the Special Highway Fund. In Section 1 of the bill, you can see SDCL Section 31-12-32 prescribes what county funds are available for use on county secondary roads and identifies Special Highway Fund monies, quote, as established by SDCL 3211-3, the statute that was repealed in 1977, as an available source. Similarly, in Section 2 of the bill, SDCL Section 31-12-38, which authorizes a tax levy by the county to raise highway funds for secondary roads in the townships, also includes that same reference, that is, as established by 3211-3. In both of those statutes, Section 1 and 2 of the bill respectively, the reference to SDCL Section 31-11-3 needs to be updated to SDCL Section 32-11-4.1 in accordance with that 1977 legislative revision. Senate Bill 14 simply makes those citation changes from 3211-3 to 3211-4.1. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand by for any questions.
Are there proponents of SB 14? Are there proponents? Seeing no other proponents, are there any opponents to SB 14? Any opponents? Seeing no opponents, we will move on then to committee questions. Senator Boland.
One question for Mr. Nevin. Mr. Nevin, from your experience, are there bills that come forward that are not truly cleanup bills?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, good point, Senator. Most of them probably are.
Okay. I just thought I would comment on that. Thank you. I just had to say that. Thank you.
Don't run away. Could you answer what happens if we don't pass this?
The code reference would be incorrect. The statute that's being referenced was repealed 41 years ago.
Any other questions from the committee? Seeing no other questions, we will have committee discussion or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Solano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move due pass on Bill 14.
We have a due pass from Senator Solano, seconded by Senator Curd. Any comments?
Of course, it's a cleanup bill, but, you know, we're catching up from however many years ago, which is probably a good thing, so.
And Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Boland.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
Russell. Solano.
Aye.
Frerichs. Stalzer.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
We have consent from Senator Boland, seconded by Senator Stalzer. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? She goes on the consent calendar. Senator Boland, you want to explain it to the caucus then?
I think I'll defer to Senator Solano.
All right. Senator Solano will inform our caucus. With that, then let's move on to next up on the docket is SB 15, to revise the composition of state trunk highway system.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Bill Nevin with the Department of Transportation. As the members of this committee know, the Department of Transportation routinely comes forward almost every session with minor revisions to the state trunk highway system that typically involve a segment of that's on the state trunk system, but that today really functions more as a local collector road rather than a state through highway. That's the case in this situation today with Senate Bill 15. In those situations, typically, the Department of Transportation will enter into an agreement with the appropriate local unit of government. We will bring that segment of highway up to pretty good shape, perhaps provide some future maintenance funds, and the local government entity then agrees to take over jurisdiction of that segment of the road. This bill, Senate 15, concerns South Dakota Highway 17. South Dakota Highway 17 formerly ran from its junction with South Dakota Highway 44 at the south city limits of Lenox in Lincoln County, then north through Lenox to its junction with South Dakota Highway 42 in Minnehaha County, west of Sioux Falls. Following reconstruction by the Department of Transportation in 2015, the segment of South Dakota 17 from the north city limits of Lenox north to the Lincoln County-Minnehaha County line was transferred to Lincoln County pursuant to an agreement with Lincoln County and removed from the state trunk system. Additional construction has now been completed, and the remaining segment in Minnehaha County from the Lincoln-Minnehaha County line north to its junction with South Dakota Highway 42 is being transferred to Minnehaha County pursuant to written agreement with Minnehaha County and can now be removed from the state trunk highway system. And that's what this bill does, Mr. Chairman. And with that, I will stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Any other proponents of SB 15? Proponents of SB 15? Seeing no other proponents, ask for opponents of SB 15. Opponents of SB 15? Seeing no opponents, we'll skip rebuttal and move on to committee questions. Senator Boland.
Thank you. Mr. Nevin, you just kind of, I have pretty much an idea in my mind where this is, but how much length of roadway are we actually talking about here? Do you have any idea? Just approximately.
I don't know for certain, Senator. I think it's probably less than 15 miles, maybe.
That's what I was going to estimate, yeah. And perhaps the good chairman could.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's all I needed to know. Thank you.
Senator Solano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we've received from Minnehaha County that written agreement already, and so that's all in place now.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct, Senator. The agreement has been executed by the parties.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the committee? Seeing no questions, committee discussion or action? Senator Boland.
I move to pass Senate bill on this particular bill.
Senator Boland moves SB 15 do pass. Senator Curd has seconded. Any comments, Senator Boland?
Just a necessary part of the legislative process. So we'll move this ahead. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Senators Boland.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
Russell. Solano.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Stalzer.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Votes unanimous.
SB 15 has passed. We have consent from Senator Solano, seconded by Senator Stalzer. All in favor of consent?
Aye.
Any opposed? And it will go down on our consent calendar. And Senator Solano, you want to explain that one also to our caucus? SB 16. To repeal certain curb ramp construction specification for municipalities. Proponents, long time no see.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Bill Nevin with the Department of Transportation. The need for this bill was brought to our attention by the department's civil rights compliance officer, June Hansen, after being contacted by the city of Sioux Falls. As everyone knows, the cities, along with the state, of course, are required to construct sidewalks in accordance with requirements of the Americans with Disability Act, the ADA. SDCL Section 9-46-1.2 prescribes the accessibility guidelines for buildings and facilities as published in August of 1992, as those sidewalk curb ramp construction standards to be used for ADA compliance. However, those standards are long since outdated. They were updated in 2010, and in fact, those 2010 standards are also no longer in effect. The United States Access Board, which is charged with the responsibility, The United States Access Board, which is charged with the responsibility to adopt ADA access standards, has prescribed for use now the proposed public rights-of-way accessibility guidelines, commonly referred to by its acronym PROWAG. As published by the United States Access Board in the Federal Register, July 26, 2011, the United States Department of Transportation and the Federal Highway Administration have directed states to adopt and use those pro-WAG standards in order to comply with ADA. And accordingly, the state of South Dakota and the municipalities are and have been for some time using those pro-WAG standards for curb ramp construction as directed, pending final approval by the U.S. Department of Justice, the agency that is charged with enforcing ADA accessibility requirements. That final approval, however, by U.S. DOJ may take some time because President Trump has directed that all federal agencies remove two federal mandates for every new one adopted. And to date, the United States Access Board has not identified any ADA mandates it believes appropriate to remove at this time. In any event, this statute is long since outdated, should be repealed. The state and the municipalities are and have been for some time using those pro-WAG standards as directed by U.S. DOT and Federal Highway Administration and are in full compliance with the ADA. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you. For the proponents of SB 16, seeing no further proponents, are there any opponents to SB 16? Opponents for SB 16, seeing no opposition, we'll move on to rebuttal, no rebuttal, so let's go on down to committee questions or discussion, action.
Mr. Chair, I move due pass Senate Bill 16.
We have a due pass from Senator Boland, seconded by Senator Curd. Any comments?
Again, just another, glad this was identified, and another part of the legislative process to repeal this outdated law. Thank you.
Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Senators Boland.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Stalzer.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
Move consent.
Second. Senator Boland has moved consent. Senator Stalzer has seconded. All those in favor of putting it on the consent calendar?
Aye.
Any noes? She goes on the consent calendar. Senator Boland, you want to explain it to the caucus again? All right, we will move on to SB 21, update references to certain federal motor carrier regulations. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Captain John Browers. I'm the commander for the Motor Carrier Division of the Highway Patrol. This morning, Senate Bill 21 is our annual update to commercial motor vehicle regulations from Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. Each year, some new changes come down that states are encouraged to adopt. So operators of commercial motor vehicles and trucking companies are using the same rules in South Dakota as they are in Florida, New York, North Dakota, and across the nation. This year, it was a very quiet year as far as the rulemaking process goes. There was some administrative directives that came down to not make a lot of directives or to delay implementation of others. This year, there's really only four minor changes to the federal regulations as far as how South Dakota adopts those. There were some changes in the requirements of what a lease must contain for passengers of motor carriers. So if a bus operating company wants to lease onto another one to gain more trips and loads and things like that, there's some certain requirements in the leasing. They're mostly administrative in nature and just says this has to be pointed out and this has to be pointed out. There's a drug and alcohol clearing house that's already in effect for quite some time, but there were some changes made to require a driver. If he goes to a new employer, the employer must check with that drug and alcohol clearing house, and if they have tested positive for drug and alcohol use while operating a commercial motor vehicle, and if they're in the middle of a follow-up plan in order to get their driver's license back after having tested positive. The current employer must pass that information on to that next prospective employer to say this driver, he's halfway through his plan in order to get that back. And there's a well-established plan that's just saying the two have to talk to each other. The problem is some folks, if they've tested positive, let's say for methamphetamine while operating a commercial motor vehicle, usually they lose that license right away, their commercial driver's license. They might try to go to another state or another company and hire onto them before those records kind of catch up. So this is just putting the two employers in touch through a system that says he still has to do two follow-up tests within the next 2 months, and then he can start driving again. There's the unified registration system. It's literally a computer system. That's how new carriers get their DOT number. They're trying to move to an electronic database for all of that, where it's all online. You go in, it's kind of a one-stop shopping kind of registration process. The federal system isn't integrating all the information it needs to make that system fully functional like it wants to. So they're not requiring folks to use that system. You can still get that DOT number through the mail or a couple other avenues, but you don't have to use just that system yet. So they've delayed the implementation date that says, all right, everything has to go on this system, because frankly, their computer systems aren't talking to each other well enough now, so they want to delay that implementation. There's some changes to the hazardous material regulations. They're just labeling and shipping things. It's a harmonization of the regulations, because there's hazardous material shipping regulations for trains, boats, and trucks, and in Canada and the United States. So they want to say Hazmat X is called Hazmat X in Canada and the United States, and it has to be in this package, labeled in this way. And if it's the same on a boat as it is a train, as it is a commercial vehicle. So that way everybody knows exactly what they need to do as far as shipping and transporting that material. That's really it. They're just minor changes, but they're important to some folks to maintain those that consistency across the nation. There's some a downside to this every year. I'll let Mr. Nevin speak about those, but there's eventually they could withhold some highway funding for not passing this. We've never had to do that yet. So, like I said, the important part of this one is just keeping everybody on the same page across the nation on these regulations. I'd be happy to stick around if you have any more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents of SB 21?
Morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Bill Nevin with the Department of Transportation. While a seemingly minor matter on its face, updating the reference to the Code of Federal Regulations is a very important action for this body to take with respect to South Dakota's federal highway funding. Like every state, South Dakota is required to conform our laws and regulations to the current motor carrier provisions contained in the Code of Federal Regulations. Federal law, specifically 49 CFR 384.401, imposes a penalty against states that fail to do so. That penalty, as Captain Brewer has referred to, is a potential withholding of a portion of that state's share of federal highway funds. The penalty for noncompliance in this case is the potential withholding of 5% of our 23 U.S.C. Section 104 funds for the first year of noncompliance, and 10% for each successive year the state is not in compliance. Those two funding categories under the federal statute are the primary highway funding categories, the National Highway Performance Program and the Surface Transportation Block Grant Program. Once withheld, that money is gone forever. We don't get it back, even if we then later come into compliance. Under the current funding levels for South Dakota, 5% of our federal funds would be $11,673,686.85. 10% would be $23,347,373.70. Clearly, withholding that amount of money would have a significant negative impact on DOT's ability to carry out its duties relative to the highways of this state.
and we would strongly encourage you to support Senate Bill 21. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll stand by if there are any questions.
Thank you. For the proponents of SB 21, opponents, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Transportation Committee. Welcome back. My name is Donna Lightsky, and I'm the Executive Director for the South Dakota Petroleum and Propane Marketers Association. And as every year, we do support this bill. It is important that my people who are hauling petroleum, propane, or gasoline to be able to move seamlessly through states when we need to go to another state to pull off a pipeline. So we do encourage you to support and pass this bill. And I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Good morning.
Good morning. Myron Rao, President and Registered Lobbyist for the South Dakota Trucking Association. We rise in support, again, for all the things, all the reasons that were already mentioned. However, on behalf of the members of the association, I do always feel compelled to point out that we hate mandates. You know, this is a more gun-to-the-head legislation that we think it should, these things should stand on their own merits. And I just always caution you. Again, I'm here as a proponent and encourage you to pass it because we have to. But again, our members hate mandates. Thank you.
Thank you. For the proponents of SB 21, proponents, seeing no extra proponents, opponents of SB 21, opponents, last call for opponents, seeing none, we will move on to committee questions. Questions from the committee? Seeing no questions, we'll move on to discussion or committee action. Senator Stalzer.
I will, first of all, second Mr. Rao's comments about not liking mandates, but in lieu of the fact that we need the money, I will move to pass.
Senator Stalzer has moved due pass. Senator Frerichs has seconded. Any comments beyond that? Okay. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Senators Boland.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
Russell.
No.
Solano.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Stalzer.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
6-1.
All right. It has passed.
Can't.
No consent. But I appreciate that. Senator Frerichs, you want to take and explain this on the floor?
Sure.
And Senator Boland, you want to explain it to our caucus?
I'll do that.
All righty. With that, we'll move to the last one on our agenda is SB 22. SB 22 is allow commercial driver license applicants 3 attempts to pass the commercial driver license examination. Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jenna Howell. I'm legal counsel for the Department of Public Safety and also the Division Director for Driver Licensing. I'm pleased to be able to bring you this morning a friendly bill that's sort of a cleanup and is not a federal mandate. In the interests of full disclosure, this is actually what driver licensing is doing right now, and I want to explain why. In SDCL 3212, Section 2, which is the non-commercial driver licensing chapter of our statutes, it already provides that applicants are allowed to take the test 3 times within 6 months from the time they pay their fee with their initial application. There is nothing right now in the commercial statute, which is 32, or the chapter 3212A, that talks about that at all. There is, in the commercial chapter, a statute that says if the CDL chapter doesn't talk about it, then the general provisions of the regular licensing chapter apply. So that caused the confusion that thought, well, it's in the regular licensing chapter, so that also applies to CDL holders. But if you look at 3212.2, it says applicants under this chapter. So it's not really a general provision. It's limited to the non-CDL applicants. So we wanted to clean that up. If we don't, what we would have to do then is actually charge CDL holders the fee every time they test. By putting this into the commercial chapter, it clearly shows that CDL testers, like other testers, are allowed to take the test three times within the 6 months on the same fee. So with that, I will stand by for questions. Thank you very much.
Further proponents of SB 22? Good morning again.
Good morning again. Myron Rao, president, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Trucking Association. We didn't know this was a problem. I'm glad to see that the department is now codifying something that is currently in practice, and it's a good practice, so I encourage your support. Thank you.
For the proponents of SB 22, for the proponents, seeing no other proponents, opponents of SB 22, and last call for opponents. Seeing no opponents, questions from the committee? Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and for Ms. Howell. I'm just curious, because of all the various endorsements when we take the CDL, if somebody would, is it only three visits basically to the driver exam station? Or, I mean, I could see where somebody may decide to take, you know, the written portion that's the main test, and then maybe one or two endorsements. They still have a driving test also. How does that work, or what's considered attempts, or is it they get an attempt on all of those areas and they have three chances on each area, if that makes sense, or maybe they're separate costs for each one. I can't remember.
Senator Frerichs, thank you. I'm going to explain this as best I can. Our driver licensing director is out of state right now, so that's why I'm pitch hitting. When you initially apply for your CDL, you apply for it and for the endorsements that you're looking for. So that's one application. And if you pass, say, the basic knowledge and one of your endorsements right away, you then could come back two more times and try to pass your second endorsement as well as your driving test, if that makes sense.
So it's basically visits each time is considered attempt, basically.
Because right. So. With the CDL, it's more complicated because the regular licensing one, you just have the one test. But the CDL, it depends on how many endorsements you're applying for.
Any other questions? Seeing no other questions, committee discussion or action?
Second.
Do pass was to my left. Senator Frerichs has do pass. Senator Solano has seconded it. Any comments, Senator Frerichs? No comments. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Senators Bolin?
Aye.
Curd?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Solano?
Aye.
Frerichs?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
Senator Solano has moved consent. Senator Curd has seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
It goes on to consent floor. Okay. And I see our other page has showed up. Could you come and introduce yourself and tell everybody a dream of yours?
Hi, I'm Isaac Olson, and I hope to attend West Point Army Academy once I've graduated.
Very good. Well, with that, to explain to the internet listeners why this went so fast, I had scheduled 20 minutes per, which gave me 100 minutes out of the 120, figuring that there would be some things. But you guys are so good that we banged her out in record time. So our next meeting will be principally 8 o'clock on Wednesday, and we'll clear our other docket of bills. So with that, I will not belabor the point here, anybody. If anybody has a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Senator Bolin has moved to adjourn.
Second.
Senator Stalzer has seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.